To show you a couple of things that I pray about when I do this part of the devotional, this third joy of Joseph. This is Matthew chapter 1. This is when the angel is speaking to Joseph. And he says, "And he and she, Mary, will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins." And in Luke chapter 1, when Gabriel comes to Mary, announces to her that she's going to give birth to Messiah, he says, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus." So the angel tells both of them that about this child that's going to be born, and his name is going to be Jesus. But it says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 25, it says, "And he kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he, Joseph, called his name Jesus." Let me read one more scripture. This is, we did this scripture some days ago. This is Luke chapter 2. This is when Jesus is 12. And he's left behind, he stays behind as the family leaves the Passover feast. And on the way, they realize Jesus is not with them. So they go back for 3 days looking for him, and they find him in the temple. And Mary says in verse 38, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." She's not talking about God, his father. She's talking about Joseph, Jesus' father. But we all know that Jesus wasn't Joseph's father. Joseph knew that he wasn't Jesus' father. He was the foster father of Jesus. But the interesting thing to me, that passage I read to you in Matthew chapter 1, where it says this, it says that he kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. It was still his privilege that he's the one who named Jesus. He's the one who gave him the name Jesus. He's the one who blessed him in that way, even though he had nothing to do with producing that child. And later, when he's 12 years old, when Mary refers to him, she says, "Why have you treated me and your father this way?" And this is one of the things that I pray when I think about this third joy of Joseph and sorrow of Joseph, is that, especially for me as a person who's in the ministry, but this would be true about all Christians, and that is that when I see something that God has done in somebody else, in somebody else's life, that he's produced, that I've really had nothing to do with its production, that if I'll bless that, even though I had nothing to produce it, I'll participate in a favor associated with that that's reciprocated back to me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Mary referred to Joseph as the father. He's participating in a favor that he had nothing with producing. He blessed something. And because he blessed it, he got to enjoy a favor from God as a result of blessing what God did through somebody else in somebody else's life. And instead of me being jealous or envious of what somebody else might have, or what somebody else, God might be doing through somebody else that I had nothing to do with, and I see this all the time with Christians. I see this all the time with leaders. Like if there's some big ministry going on, and we always find something wrong with them. If they're not doing it the way we do it, there's always some excuse to criticize them. It's just easy to do. Like, well, you know, they did this or they don't do that, and I just don't like the way this, and I'm just not, you know, I'm thinking, really? Why can't we just bless what God's doing? Because here's the deal, if we'll do that, that God will reward you with favor, a reciprocal favor that's on them, it bounces back on you. I just think that's a big deal. The other thing about this naming the Luke passage in chapter 2, verse 21 says, "And when 8 days were completed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb." And on the 8th day, again, the circumcision happened and the naming happened. When you give somebody a name, different than what we give people a name, we give them a name that we like, but a name in Scripture establishes their identity and their destiny. The name Jesus, as you know, means Jehovah saves, Jehovah rescues, Jehovah restores. And that's the name of Jesus. It spoke of, on this day of covenant relationship, where that covenant was sacramentalized, not just a ceremony, it was sacramentalized in the life of Jesus, who lived as the Son of Man. On that day of naming was also the day of circumcision. And circumcision is always about cutting covenant with God. And that's where his identity was established. Now, this is the other thing I pray about in my own life when I pray the third joy of Joseph. This is in verse 9, starting in Colossians chapter 2. "For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete." Now in him, in the person of Jesus. "And he is the head over all rule and authority." Now, let's look at this, not like these sort of funny words, but let's just say, who's a person that you really envy? You know, that you really think that their life is amazing. What would that be? I don't know. It would be besides Jesus. Well, think of that person. And so here's your life, but somehow if we could just place you in their life, and now their life is your life, that would change everything about you. It would change the quality of your life. It would change everything about you. It would change your identity, everything about you, right? So when the Scripture talks about being in him, that's what he's talking about. You've been placed into his person, into union with his person. And so now your identity and your possibilities are all wrapped up in who he is. See, when a person understands their identity, and most Christians don't know their identity, when a person understands their identity, then you can know what's expected of you. And my identity is in Christ. And so what's expected of me is all the possibilities that Jesus has are mine. Because I'm in him. And because you see what happened, it says in this Colossians passage, "In him you were also already circumcised, with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Having been," this is how it happened, "having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us of our transgressions." Now, there's so much stuff here, so I got like 90 seconds to do this. When I pray this devotional, I pray on this day, when I do the third, not this day, but on the third joy, sorrow and joy of Joseph, I do pray, "God, help me, Holy Spirit, to always bless those things that others have produced. You know, always bless them and not be envious or jealous of them or speak about them or criticize. And I know there's a favor that I'm going to get to walk in as a result of that." Second thing is, Lord, you know what? At the cross, 2,000 years ago, I was in Christ. And the person that I was, that was controlled by the flesh, was crucified. And I was renamed. And that name that I get to carry is his. Because I get to live my life, pray my prayers, minister to people in the name of Jesus. That was accomplished 2,000 years ago. And so the thing I pray is, oh God, may I keep saying yes every day to the fact of the cutting of the way of the flesh in my life. That I was given a new name 2,000 years ago. And that Christ is all and He's in all. And that's my identity. For I have died and my life is hidden with Christ in God. Now when Christ, who is my life, is manifested, I'll be manifested with Him in glory. Lord, help me never forget, help me to never forget that I have a new identity in Christ, that the flesh has been cut away, and that having His new identity, I have all of His possibilities. There are no more excuses. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.